The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody survived St. Patrick's Day, it appears?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. It was a relatively quiet St. Patrick's Day.
It certainly was for me, yes.
Yeah, which was fine with me.
Absolutely.
I'm okay with that.
Just because, you know, we're old and we don't do much anymore.
It's getting too old for this, yeah.
And last night, I had radio this morning, so.
Yeah, so did I.
Due diligence. Well, good for you. Now, did you guys traditionally do things? Because I never did much.
No, I never did
so
much.
So it wasn't like a big.
We'd have people over every once in a while. Every so often, and
so
things like that.
So it's not necessarily that you're older, it's just that it's a day that you typically didn't do things.
Well, I am older. Well, let's go down to somebody with the name Mahady.
I used to.
You traditionally would.
Your
name's Mahady. Well,
yes.
Okay.
Well, on St. Patrick's Day, everybody's Irish.
So true.
Melanie had seen there was some party at a bar down in. On Rosecrans in Point Loma, and she wanted to know if we wanted to go, and I can't remember what the admission price was, and so I looked it up, and it's like, it's hanging out in a parking lot. that ain't grabbing me. So we ended up not going. But
well, I was mentioning to George and Mark this morning that I get up in the morning, and part of my routine is to look at the CHP weblog to see what incidents are going on. And there were a lot of incidents on the local freeways at 3-4 o'clock this morning, which I am ascribing to St. Patrick's Day, because normally at this time of the morning, there'd be nothing out there. There'd be two or three incidents, but there was a lot of crashes.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing good ever happens between 2 and 4 in the morning.
No.
But we did. Did you see stars this morning? Through the thin, wispy clouds?
I didn't even look up.
Did you enjoy the sun yesterday?
The sun was nice.
Every moment, I spent as much time outside as I could yesterday.
Yeah, and we're supposed to have another nice day today and maybe a little bit of drizzle on Sunday afternoon and night. But enjoy the weekend. You know what George and I did yesterday?
No.
We bought vegetables.
Oh, I did see
tomatoes
that.
And peppers. Well, you didn't get peppers,
not
did
yet.
You?
I still have peppers that we're eating out of the garden from last year.
I probably do. I still have the plants. I don't know, but I had to get more. It was so nice to have the sun out.
It was a nice day.
I had to
yesterday.
Take my jacket off. It was so warm.
We went up to Melly and I went up to Temecula on
Thursday.
That's right. Yeah. it was beautiful up in Temecula. It was nice. It was cold. It was chilly, but it was a beautiful day up there. But we were coming home. We went out to dinner in Old Town, Temecula. We had an early reservation, like 4:30, and we got out. We were on the road probably about 5:30 or so, and it was bumper to bumper traffic from north of Rancho California Road, which is where we got on the 15 to go south, and the traffic stretched all the way down to the 76. It was bumper to bumper.
And wow. You got through right before there was an accident on the northbound.
You ain't texted me. There was a really bad accident on northbound. It must have happened right behind us as we were going through.
We are expecting another change in the weather back to the normal Southern California rainy pattern.
And that's going to happen
become normal.
Well, just this year.
Couple weeks.
Just for this year.
And it's going to happen on Tuesday?
Monday night into Tuesday, probably tailing off Wednesday. Right now they're talking about 1 to 2 inches for most areas of the county.
That's a lot of rain.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rain for us. Yeah.
Thank goodness the soils have all had time to dry out, so it'll all be absorbed.
Did you see I can't remember where it was, but it was here in Southern California, but there was a bluff collapse, and the guy's swimming pool was hanging off of the side of the cliff.
I think that was up in Laguna Beach or somewhere north of us.
There, but yeah. I guess you won't be going swimming in that thing for a while.
But, no, and it surprises me the parts that stay there, like the deck is still around it with no dirt underneath it. There's enough support for parts.
Yeah, and all the pipes hanging off of it. That was pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Why are you shaking your head?
Oh, I'm just thinking more rain, and I have a very large truck stuck in our front yard from a tree
still
service.
Still?
And they said they have to wait for it to dry out. And we walked down to it last night, Capri and I did, and there's puddles of water underneath where the tires dug out the trenches, and it's just still sitting in standing water, not mud. There's water still there. So we're not getting that out for a while.
Maybe it'll become yard art like we have at the Poway store.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We've got classes today, both stores, in San Diego at 9 o'clock. It's going to be spring vegetables with Josh. And in Poway, it's going to be Spring Color with Brian Robert. That's at 9:30. Next Saturday, it's going to be Staghorn Fern Care and Remounting with Olivia in San Diego at 9 o'clock. And Tomatoes Care Culture Owned Selections with Farmer Roy in Poway at 9:30. Always a popular class. So
very. He used to be a professional tomato grower.
He brings it.
Yeah. Wasn't he one of the people that developed celebrity tomatoes? Was that the cultivar he was tangled up with?
I don't know.
I can't remember, but it's one of the
popular ones.
It's one of the popular ones.
That's cool.
You used to grow tomatoes down in San Quintin, down in Baja.
I'm nodding my head for all of you listening out there in agreement. Yeah, he spent a lot of time down there professionally growing to miters, and now he does it up here for
which
fun.
Isn't bad for a UCSD math major. Graduated with a degree in mathematics.
That's right. I remember when, it was 23 years ago when we did it, but my dad and a few other people drove down to Guerrero Negro, which is about halfway down the coast, and the first night that we were on the road, we stopped in San Quintin, and I remember there was just massive greenhouses all over the place.
Roy was probably in one. Oh, no, not then.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
23 years ago?
He might have been down there.
He might have been down there. But, yeah, it's a pretty impressive place. I remember the hotel that we stayed at, which wasn't anything to get really excited about, but it was right on the beach. And my dad and I went out, and we were walking on the beach. I've never seen so many sand dollars in my life. I mean, it was like tile. I mean, they were everywhere.
Were they alive or were they?
I don't know. I didn't.
But they were everywhere.
They were everywhere. I had never seen anything like it before. It was pretty incredible. So it's an interesting area down there.
I remember going down there. Well, to Ensenada. As a kid, and you know, it was a Holiday Inn hotel, so I figured it'd be okay to drink the water there.
No.
But it's a Holiday Inn.
No, you don't drink the water, and you don't get drinks with ice. That was the ice is the other silent killer.
Yes, but I survived.
Yeah. I don't think it's that bad anymore. But at least in the big resorts,
No, they have.
It's never been a. I've never had a problem.
It isn't anymore in a lot of those places. Now I'll just let that. let that be. I want to go back to weather, rain, weeds,
plants.
Gardening. Does
everything is green.
My weeds are outrageous. I had to go. You know, I mentioned once or twice on the air how sometimes plants stay in containers longer than I would like at home. You've heard that. But the weeds now are growing up and over the plants. So I found some new plants yesterday.
Well, they're
while
old
you were
plants.
Weeding?
Yeah, you just didn't know they were there or couldn't remember.
And then I found some
seedlings and
old plants that, they didn't make it. But everything is just doing so well. And the fruit trees, citrus and fruit, they've been blooming so long because we've had temperate weather this whole time. And it's been on the cooler side, so it's extended the bloom. It's not been 80 degrees and night. I mean, you know, we've gotten some outrageously warm, dry weather most of the time during this period. And the bloom comes and goes so quickly. But one of my navel oranges has been blooming for somewhere between 1 and 2 months. It seems like it's been in air quotes full bloom, and I didn't want to spray it with oil
because
of that, but I did anyway, and it's still blooming.
Still blooming. Well,
mine's not blooming. I'll have to look.
Different varieties are in different stages.
Mine's a Washington.
This is the it's not a navel. It's a Trovita. Trovita's in full bloom, way ahead of all the others. The Washington is budded. The grapefruit is just pushing new growth and starting to show tiny buds. But all the trees, and they're all in a row getting exactly the same care, and they're all in different stages of development. They all grow on their own schedule.
I'll have to go out and look at mine. I have not been out in the yard that much
because
of the rain.
We did a walk last night to all the trees, and we actually harvested the last of the grapefruits off the cocktail.
Oh.
It's so sad.
Thank you for reminding me. I might have one or two grapefruit that I could share with you. Maybe.
There was a pomelo
on the ground this morning.
On the ground?
Yeah.
It took its own life?
Yes. It wanted to be free. And I was complaining to you, this gopher thing and the gopher hawks. I have to go back to just what has always worked for me, I think.
The Maccabees
and the black boxes, yeah. Either, or both. either I'm stupider, or the gophers are getting smarter. But I'm having much less success, and I think it's because when I'm successful at getting rid of gophers, I get cocky and I think I take shortcuts and I don't put little pieces of grass in there. I don't cover the hole up completely. When I used to do all of those protocols, I would catch gophers all the time, and I'm
coming
short. Out.
Yeah, I'm striking out.
Well, I'll be deploying some today that I've let sit outside for several days in the
You're
going to
go gopher hawk?
We're going gopher hawk, yes.
Okay, probably just to mock me, you'll be successful.
I will send you some photos later today.
Hey, look, Dave, mine work. I don't know what's wrong with yours.
There you go.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call today, we would love to talk to you. 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We have a special event coming up April 1st and 2nd. April 1st in the San Diego store and April 2nd in the Poway store. We have a mobile sharpening service to come in, and they can We can sharpen loppers and pruners and things like that, but this guy can sharpen anything. And so he's going to set up in the parking lot at both stores, and you can just bring your stuff in and have him do it while you wait, while you shop.
While you shop.
Yeah. So that's going to be April 1st in San Diego, April 2nd in Poway.
And currently it's slated to be first Saturday, San Diego from 10 to 2, and first Sunday from 10 to 2, month after month.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to... We're going to give it a shot and see what's going on.
That's a good service.
Yeah, I think so. I may have to take advantage of it myself.
Exactly.
So Melanie and I, we didn't go to the opening of the orchid show at the San Diego Botanical Garden last Friday because the weather was just horrible.
You're fair weather fans?
I am. I am. I
just, well, actually, Capri and I were going to go as well, but you looked at the traffic. Yeah. And it was it was an hour just to get up there if it didn't get any delayed any further. So yeah, we ended up not going. So,
I totally support your decision. I'm still going to mock you on air for it.
so we didn't go either, but we did go on Saturday. We took off mid morning and went over there. And I have to tell you, it is a spectacular show. I mean, they do an incredible job. You know, the majority of the main orchid show, which should, I don't even know when it should be coming up if it hasn't already happened.
Today?
The Orchid Society. Yeah,
They do it right around St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, mid-March. Most of the plants at the orchid show are on tables, and they're broken out by species and things like that. And they do have some, people do put in some vignettes where they were, because we used to loan the plant material to them all the time. But that's what they do at the orchid show at the San Diego Botanical Garden. It's, everything is landscaped.
Okay.
And in the conservatory. And I don't know where they came up with some of these plants. They are amazing. They're the just massive specimen plants, just completely loaded with flowers and some really unusual plants that you're not going to see every day. If you haven't been to the Botanical Garden recently, I would highly recommend you go and check out the orchid show. It's well worth it.
San Diego County Orchid Society show is in April this year.
Oh, really? That's okay. Late.
21, 22, and 23 in Balboa Park.
In Balboa Park?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder where in Balboa Park. Is it?
Didn't say.
I'm guessing the Casa del...
Might say.
Casa del Prado or Balboa Park Club, one of those.
But back to the show up at the Botanic Garden. Mm-hmm. I went to the bromeliad show last year.
Mm-hmm.
And what was striking to me, and there were orchids with the bromeliads, but it's the arrangement. It's the fact that they're all hanging together and tied together with, they look like they're part of the garden. They're not sitting in pots and mm-hmm. they're not just put in there. It is really nicely done.
Yeah, they do a really, really good job. I was very impressed. And then the other thing that we did while we were up there, when we were talking to John Clements last week, and George had brought it, we were talking about Ericarias, and George had brought it up that they have a couple of big Ericaria bidwillis over by the waterfall. So after we went through the orchid show, we were wandering through the gardens, and we walked over, and George is right. They're huge Ericarias, and one of them's got a trunk that's almost 3 feet across, I would say. They're just massive, massive trees, and they just tower over the landscape.
We should probably chop them down and build a house.
But they're beautiful specimens. So if you go up to see the orchid show, make sure you hike over to see the Ericarias too, because I wouldn't hang around underneath of them very long. No. But they're really, really pretty trees.
I remember some signage near there about not standing underneath them.
If those cones fall, it's going to hurt.
You know, my mother would have said that some people might need a little sense knocked into them to hang out there. So it kind of depends on who.
Well, she was speaking to just about you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, your family.
Well, I'd talked about previously the Ericaria ericanas that we got, the monkey puzzle trees. And I was trying to find the picture of the one that I took when I was back at Duke Gardens back in Durham when we were back visiting Katie, and I couldn't find it. I must have deleted the picture, done something stupid. So I emailed the staff at Duke Gardens, and they sent me a couple of pictures of the one that they have. That was it was a container grown plant just outside the visitor center, but it was a really nice looking plant. But it was interesting. They said that they have difficulty growing them back there. And they said the summers are too hot and too humid. They don't like that. And he said they can get them to survive for several years, but that's about it, which really surprised me. I thought they would have done much better.
It's kind of like a coastal redwood in Southern California.
They
do well for a little while, and then all of a sudden
They do well when they're small, but when they get big, they just...
It's like when they grow up, they realize where they are, and they go, wait a minute, I can't be here.
I can't live like this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the unfortunate part. You know, there used to be, as you were driving down the 163 South through Balboa Park, on the west side of the freeway, there was a huge stand of redwood trees there. I mean, there were a lot of redwoods there. I think they're all gone.
Yeah.
Not watering them during the drought, I think, probably didn't help. And I think they have all since been removed. And we had quite a few in the Poway store on the west side of the parking lot. And I think
they did well for many years.
For many years, but then they just didn't. And I think there's one left over in the corner.
And I think it was a late plant. I don't think it was planted with the original stand.
Could be. And then I was talking to somebody, maybe it was you, that was saying that the reason why they do so well up on the coast is that they have so much foliage on them that the foliage catches the mist, which condenses, and then
they water themselves.
They water themselves.
Right. Absolutely correct.
Yeah, which I thought that was pretty interesting. How that works.
You think about what the surface area is of all those tiny little needles that look like nothing individually, but the mass, and with the evening fog, daily evening fog coming in on the North Coast.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah. In addition to a lot of water, period, that they get up there.
Yeah.
I've read where some people for the smaller trees have put misters all the way up just to replicate that. So they'd misters go off once or twice a day or at night just for a while to help accommodate the extra water.
Interesting. That might help. Because they really are beautiful trees.
Might not help. Couldn't wait.
Not going to hurt. If you haven't put your vegetable garden in yet, now is a great time to thinking about it.
They've come out of the trunk. I set them on top of one of my trash cans yesterday afternoon.
So it's getting closer.
And this morning, do you know what I did before I left for radio this morning?
Took them off the trash can.
I watered them. No, I didn't. Come on, Mark. I didn't take them off the trash can. But I watered them. Come on. Could I have a brief round of applause? Even a golf clap?
Yeah. We hope to get ours. We also brought ours home yesterday. As well, that you and I had selected. And I put them on top of my truck when I got home. So today I hope to get some of those in the ground.
You didn't drive your truck to the radio station this morning, did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you know what George and I did?
No.
We shopped together?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
But actually we didn't. We shopped separately, but we split six packs of tomatoes.
Oh, makes sense. That makes sense.
Right?
Get a larger selection.
Yes. So we each have six varieties, right?
Four varieties. Public math, David.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know. I have 2 6-packs with 2 varieties each. Is that
That's
four?
Right.
Two
that
times
four.
Two?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's one way to do it.
You know, I thought it was
we've been actually doing that for a number of years now. It's worked out quite well.
It makes sense because there's times where you don't need 6 in the same plant.
Plus the variety.
We get a lot of complaints, or not complaints, but people say the same thing. I don't need 6 of those or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can get one of these or 6 of these, and they cost the same. What's David going to do, everybody?
Exactly.
He's going to kill 6.
He's not going to want 6.
Well, the The problem is I don't label them when I put them in the garden, so I'm going to remember.
I wrote the names on each one of those for you.
Yes, he did. George wrote them on the sides of the cells. He was a very good co-worker and friend yesterday.
You know, whenever I plant tomatoes, I always put the I always put the tag, and I can never find it.
Me either.
Yeah,
I bury it or
It gets washed out or something.
But I was trimming my pomegranate a couple of weeks ago, and I have two pomegranates. Well, I have more than two, but there's a Grenada, and I have a Wonderful, and they're very similar. And I could never tell which was which. And George and I, we've talked about it, and we've taste tested, and they're very subtly different, but there's no way of telling. But when I was trimming last week, I found the metal tag I put on the tree 10 years ago. And so now I know which one's Wonderful. The one up top is Wonderful, and the one down below is Granada.
It's good to know.
Yes.
So labeling is important.
That's where we were. I found the tag. So just having it is half the battle.
Interesting. Yeah. And is it the write-on aluminum?
Yeah, the one where you take a marker ballpoint pen and just imprints.
Indents.
Yeah. You have a drone.
Yes, I do.
You should take some pictures of your yard from above
while it's green.
Print them out and then do a little legend and label each of your fruit trees.
That sounds like too much work
for your kids.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. You are...
I mean,
and the reason I say that is I want you to come over with the drone because I want to do that as well.
Okay.
Well, how about he just let you borrow the drone and you do it? And then, I mean,
well, he's going to need some operating instructions and directions.
He'll figure it out before.
George, you know, I have a background in flight. George really doesn't, so I should probably be the drone.
The whole airplane thing is new to me.
You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You know, speaking of the weather, which we always do, one thing that has popped up, which always happens after we have a relatively intense storm cycle, is hail damage.
Oh, yeah.
On tender plants. And it manifests itself usually a few days after the hail comes through. But it can show up either as on fleshier plants pitting on the foliage, and on softer foliage plants like the Daturas that we have, it looks like they got shot with a shotgun.
Yes.
I mean, it shreds the foliage.
The angel trumpets.
The angel trumpets, yeah. It's... And I
walked right past those and thought, oh, my gosh, the bugs have gotten to them. We need to move those. I hadn't.
Yeah, put two and two together.
I didn't put two and two together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the other one that seems to pop up pretty frequently as far as just regular foliage plants, bougainvilleas.
Oh, it shreds them.
Yeah, it really can damage the foliage. It's not going to kill anything. It's just going to look somewhat unsightly for a while. But as soon as they leaf out
and grow back,
it's going to be fine. But it is something that something that happens pretty frequently.
The plants that you wouldn't think would be bothered by it, the succulents.
Yeah, it's
because they're
like
so
that.
Tough. We just throw them out there and they take care of themselves.
The
they look the worst.
And, yeah, the jades.
And,
all the jades look pretty horrible
sago palms?
When that happens.
Yep.
Sago palms get destroyed?
Yeah.
Well, they get pitted.
They get pitted.
Right. And people just don't want to recognize that. When No, it can't be that. It can't be that. And you can see the shadow patterns where one leaf was protecting another and there's no damage below.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But every time we have a storm cycle like that, though, it happens usually within about a week after the storm
is when it starts coming in with samples.
Yeah.
Like, when you ask about hail, they say, did we have hail? I don't remember any.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
we did.
But begonias, too. Begonias have that heavy, waxy leaf that gets pitted very nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. So if you have, if you're starting to see pits in the foliage of your plants this time of the year, or large holes, and you don't see any bugs or anything, that could be what the problem was. So, but there again, if you're wondering and you have a question about it, feel free to bring samples in to either store and let us take a look at it.
As long as they're not citrus.
Please do not bring citrus into the stores. And we will get into that a little bit later. Right now, we're going to go up to San Marcos. If I can find that cursor.
I'd like to mock him for that, but I have the same issue.
Please discuss it amongst yourselves.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go up to San Marcos where Sharon is waiting. Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
Hi, I'm just fine.
What can we do for you?
Well, I've got some Italian cypress trees that have been cut off ground level, and I'm wondering if the roots are invasive, because I live in a trailer park, and I'm going to be 80 in May, and so I want to find a way that I can put things in that are not a whole lot of trouble, and I want to find out if those Italian cypress would be invasive. You know, some roots are more than others, and so the thing is, the man that lived here before had the whole house surrounded with those Italian cypress trees. And I didn't really notice it when because I was looking more at the inside. And so I just need to find out if they're invasive or not.
Typically not. I have never heard of them being a problem. And I've got a couple of dwarf Italian cypresses in my front yard that are probably a good 12 to 15 feet tall, and they're planted within 2 feet of the house, and I have not had any issues with them at all.
Okay, so that's good news.
Yeah, and if they've been cut off, then they're not going to cause you any trouble at all.
Right.
Okay. Now that it's raining so much, the roots are the main part of the tree is coming up. So I don't know whether I need to try to pull them all out, or friend said you could put a nail in there that they don't like something that's in the nail.
If you want them to die, if you've cut them back and they're sprouting back out, put a fresh cut on them right around the edges of them where the sap flow is, and paint them with a product called Brush and Stump Killer. It has a little brush in the lid, and you just paint that on the outer circle, and it'll kill the trunk.
Brush and
stump killer.
Stump.
Cut vine and stump killer. It's called cut vine and stump killer. That's what it is. Let me get you the right name. And it's from Bonide. And you just paint that onto a fresh cut around the edges of the base, and it goes down into the ground and shuts it down and kills it.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Cut vine, brush, and stump.
Take the word brush out of there. That guy on the radio he misspoke. So it's just cut vine and stump killer from Bonide, Bonide. I had a Colrutaria I chopped down, and it sprouted back up, and I painted that on it, and it It's pretty effective. Killed it down.
Yeah.
It worked
well.
Yeah, it's very effective.
Yeah. Okay, now what about, this is something, you know, what's the best way to kill weeds? Because with all this rain, I'm having a lot of weeds around.
Well, a lot of different ways to do that.
A lot of different ways to do it, and a lot of different way, and a lot of different places where the weeds are growing. You know, if they're weeds in your lawn, that's going to take a different approach than if it's just weeds in an open area. If it's weeds in an open area,
there's no desirable stuff around.
Was it cleanup and
Bermuda
cleanup or
Bermuda burnout.
The organic one.
Yeah, burnout's the organic one, but it's just a top kill. It'll kill the and on some tender weeds, if you kill the foliage on the top, the whole thing's going to die. But on more
aggressive,
tenacious weeds, you can kill the top off, but it's going to end up growing back. But if you use something like Bermuda, that's going to kill the whole plant. But whatever you're using in that type of a situation, you want to make sure that it's not going to drift onto anything that you want to keep. If that's the case, where you have weeds growing in beds where there's other plants around that you don't want to damage, I would say get a hula hoe and cut them up that way. That's another easy way to do it.
A hula hoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a little manual labor, but
it's an interesting implement. It has kind of a hoop shaped blade on it, and you just slide it back and forth across the surface, and it cuts the weeds off. Below the soil.
It's a simple tool, but it works very well.
It's very effective.
Effective.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're a simple tool that works really well.
So. Okay. Well, those are all good ideas, I think. And what about putting sheets down? Is that what they call them? On top so they won't come up.
Oh, weed barrier. Yeah, you can do that. You need to get all the weeds out first, then put the weed barrier down, and then it's ideally you want to put something on top of the weed barrier to hold it in place, whether it's gravel or bark or some kind of mulch. That's the most effective way to do it.
Okay, and that way they will stay down.
Yeah, it will definitely slow them down.
Okay, now that Bermuda, is it dangerous? Is it, you know?
If you use it according to label directions, no, you're not going to have any problems with it.
Okay. So if you were going to do it, which ones would you do? If it's just weeds out there.
If it was just a big open area Bermuda. Of weeds, I would probably use Bermuda.
Okay. And okay. And then the Japanese hapu fern, is that the way you say it?
Be one of the aetheriums, but hang on a second.
Haku, you said?
H-A-P-U.
Haku. Oh, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
I mean, not by that name. I'm sure it's...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's a Pokemon. There's a Hapu Pokemon. It says it's a native fern to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's also called a Hawaiian tree fern.
Sibodium.
Okay.
Yeah. This says Sibodium splendens.
Those are hard to find, actually.
I'm not familiar with the splendens, but we do occasionally... Yeah. Well, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Some podiums ABC, in.
Yeah.
Well, it's really growing. It's beautiful, but it's put it at the wrong place. It can't get in the front door.
Oh no.
So I don't know whether I can move something like
sure
that.
Sure, you can.
They're fairly easy to move.
Yeah, they might be a little awkward, but they're. Pretty forgiving.
You could also try just trimming off a little prematurely the fronds that are growing across the doorway. You know, they usually come out all the way around. So if you just cut off the ones as they encroach upon your space, you can keep it.
Yeah, that would be good too. All right, I think they grow pretty tall. But I'm not sure how far, and it's underneath the roof. And
they can get tall, but they're not fast.
They're not super fast growing. Yeah, so I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Okay. Now, if you were going to try to put,
before you go any further, I think we need to take a quick break and come back. Or
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We'll be right back, Sharon. You stay on the line. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anders along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, George Allman. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to go back to San Marcos where Sharon is waiting. All right, Sharon, we're back. What was your next question?
Well, it was about, do you think, where would I get the least amount of weeds? And do you think it'd be better to have a raised garden? Or I have a friend that works at the flower field, and he says he just puts things in buckets.
Yeah, well,
you're going to get weeds in anything.
But. Yeah, weeds can come up in anything. A lot of the seed is airborne, so it's just going to go anywhere, and wherever it lands is where it's going to sprout. It's much easier to stay on top of it when they're small than letting them get established and trying to get them under control retroactively. Whether it's containers or raised bed or just open space. Anything can get infested.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just have to keep up with the weeds, huh?
You got bit. It. Yeah.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
I used to live on an acre, and we had all these little vignettes and raised gardens, and that was a lot of fun and
a lot of work, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, and after a while, your back and your knees start. saying, I'm not so sure I want to do that anymore.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I just really enjoy listening to you guys every Saturday. I get up early so I can
hear you.
Well, we really appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very interesting, and you learn a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think
anybody said that before.
Yeah.
Thank
you for the call, Sharon. You have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Thanks. Goodbye.
The 4 a.m. approximate hydrology forecast has increased the amount of rain we're expecting in Southern California, so most areas are expecting 2-plus inches now.
Oh, really?
So we'll see how it plays out.
Through Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, that's going to be Monday night into Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The immediate coast, like the tip of Point Loma, is only expecting 1.5 to 2 inches of rain, but everywhere else,
that's it's still a lot of water.
Everywhere else, it's 2 to 3.
Oh, wow.
When she mentioned putting something down, I thought she was talking about solarization, putting plastic down to kill all the weeds.
Well, what kept coming to my mind, and I just sat on it was cardboard. You know, people take cardboard out and lay it in the garden to kill weeds.
Yeah.
Yes, newspaper. Lauren used to promote
like
that.
And
it'll break down and blah, blah, blah.
Well, we've done that in our corn patch. We put cardboard and then put mulch all on top of it and just left it till the...
Well, there you go.
Until the worms eat it.
Exactly. Until the worms eat it, absolutely. Or you run the riding lawnmower over it and you accidentally cut it up and make it spread everywhere.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. What you got there, Ken?
Let's see. Just a reminder, we got classes today. 9 o'clock in San Diego, it's going to be spring vegetables with Josh. And 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be spring color with Brian Robert. There was a couple other things that we wanted to go over.
While you're looking at that, I forgot to mention when we were being annoyed with my gophers that they have decimated my onion patch. My onions
That's what
keep
you were
disappearing.
Saying.
I have nothing left. Well, I shouldn't say nothing, but why? I would have thought onions would be safe out there.
I would have thought so,
Everybody
too.
Everybody loves onions.
Well, even my gophers.
I guess so. High class gophers.
No, they said they were high class, but that was just a lie.
Just a reminder, as far as citrus is concerned, because of the new quarantine for HLB in Rancho Bernardo, please do not transport citrus into. Don't bring foliage or fruit or branches in for us to take a look at. Just play it safe. Take as many photos, as many detailed photos of the problem that you have. So we can take a look at it. You can email them or text them to the store, and we're happy to take a look at it. But
every day when I walk up and down my driveway, I look at the new growth on my citrus trees looking for psyllids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're clean. I sprayed last month, and they're clean, but you just never know when they're going to show back up, and that's part of the process.
Exactly.
So here's our public service announcement, right? There were over 4,500 trees in California that are infected with HLB, Huanglongbing disease. Mm-hmm.
And how many of those were in commercial groves?
There were 11 sites in San Diego, 15 trees, and every single one of those 4,500 plus were in backyard
orchards.
Trees. Yeah.
Not a single commercial grove has been
infected, which because they are very vigilant and diligent in their spraying and monitoring. And so if we want to keep this at bay and stop it from spreading, we as citrus growers in our backyards have to be proactive.
As citrus stewards.
We have to be proactive. So you have to spray. We have a lot of people that say, oh, I don't spray. I don't spray my trees. They just, you know, I feed them once in a while. But you have to spray if you're going to have a citrus tree in your yard.
Even if you want to be a lazy gardener.
Even so.
We implore you to do that.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah, help control it.
Well, you know, if you think about it, the groves are always managing insect infestations.
Right.
And pretty much anything that they're going to do to manage those insect infestations is going to manage the citrus psyllid. So you just need to maintain them. You need to keep on top of it. And we have always recommended that you spray horticultural oil 3 or 4 times a year, just as a rule of thumb to keep things under control.
And it's not; it is only killing by smothering. It's not a.
It's not a poison. Right.
Poison.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
it should help people to
those who are
who are concerned.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually considered an organic control, if I am not mistaken.
It is horticultural oil.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and
it makes everything look so clean and shiny.
So true.
And if you don't want to spray and you don't want to deal with it, cut that tree down.
Yeah,
get it out of the yard.
Shovel
so it's not it. So it is not a host.
Yeah, yeah.
Because please,
it's a serious issue, and don't bring citrus in from. Don't move fruit around.
Yeah,
I mean,
from anywhere.
And once you buy citrus, take it home and put it in the ground and leave it there. Don't move it around. I mean that's actually one of the rules of the quarantine is when you buy citrus and you take it into the quarantine area, you put it in the ground within
48 hours and leave it there.
Yeah, within 48 hours and never move it again.
So. Which most people don't once it's been planted.
Once it's been planted,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are people that put them in pots, and then they might move from one home to another and take it, or they're living in condos, and they have a citrus in a big pot. So
and that would be
bad. Be problematic.
Yeah, that could be very problematic. Once again, garden classes today. It's
just vegetables.
Vegetables with Josh in San Diego at 9 o'clock, 9:30. Spring Color with Brian Robert in Poway. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday with another hour.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.